KCIM, now broadcasting on 95.1 FM.
Welcome to Monday Morning. John Ryan, Chantel Grove here with you. Chantel, we continue our conversations with the award winners from last week's Chamber Banquet.
That's right.
A week ago tonight, the New Business Award winner, the Public Service Award winner, excuse me,
yes.
Is the Animal Rescue of Carroll. We're happy to have with us the chairman of the board, Dave Bruner, here. So. It's like a Frank Sinatra title going on there.
Yeah.
Are you going to sing for us later on?
Can you live up to that?
No, we're singing today.
and the shelter director, Sammy Elliott, with us.
Although I do want to have a rebuttal against Eric New last week's conversation. I'm just kidding.
Do you have new rankings of the lawyers for us? Because you can get the last word on this.
I'll just leave that. I'll just leave it to be.
Well, at least it was your brother that took the beating.
That's
true.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the bottom of the
girl. When you have a family get-together, you can still say, well, at least I wasn't on the bottom.
I was right.
Let's talk the Animal Rescue of Carroll. What a great facility this is to have in the town of Carroll. Talk about the project to get this whole shelter going and how amazed you are at the support you got from the community of Carroll and beyond.
John, we started the project. Well, we started.
Just step up a little bit closer to the mic. There you go.
We started talking about the project, I believe, in 2013. The board had numerous meetings. We hired an architect, developed the plans, and purchased the land out there on East 10th Street. And by 2016, September or October of 2016, we had the thing built, paid off with numerous volunteers and in-kind donations, and we just took off from there.
And one of the things, Sammy, you're the director of the shelter, one of the things you've said that has amazed the communities around us is how quickly that happened. You want to talk a little bit about all of the people that gave to make sure that that happened quickly?
Right. We had a lot of donations from, we had so much support from the Carroll area, but not just from the Carroll area, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of the board members know other people around the area and how important it is for the animals. And so we had a lot of donations, but again, family members of board members around the state. I think that's what amazes me the most, is that we do have the support and that we were paid off, you know, shortly after we opened up. And we still have volunteers that come in and spend numerous hours doing everything. It's not just taking care of the animals. We have building maintenance and, you know, taking care of the lawn in the summertime. So
yeah, and it's pretty impressive facility out there that you have built. It's very, very nice.
You guys recognize the need for that facility, and since that facility's open, you guys have seen a huge explosion in numbers of adoptions and all of that. It's really fulfilling the need.
It is. It amazes me, and I'm there on a day-to-day basis, and I'm seeing the animals go out. But when I actually pull up the numbers and see that, it's just like, wow. And comparing from year to year, it's like every year we just keep getting more and more. But we're able to get that many more animals into homes and to spay and neuter that many more animals, so then those animals aren't able to have babies.
Mm-hmm. How many did you put out last year for adoption?
We had about 452 adoptions last year between cats and dogs. Most of them are cats and kittens, but yeah.
That's a huge, huge number for you guys. Now, Dave, you did get tipped off a little bit, so you were a little more prepared than everybody at the Chamber Banquet. You had some really amazing numbers. Talk about a few of those, if you remember them correctly, of course. I remember them. Talk about your reaction to it. Ah, see?
He came prepared again.
He gets his notes out of his pocket, and here we go.
No, we were tipped off a day or two before the banquet, so we knew what was ahead of us. I thought I would go back and try to come up with some figures that might be entertaining for people or at least informative for some. But this is kind of, and I mentioned this at the banquet. These are numbers that kind of define our project and our mission. Sammy says I'm low on this number. 7,500 would represent the number of volunteer hours. Ugh. On an annual basis.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Tough to quantify, of course, but that's kind of what I was coming up with. 2,000 loads of laundry, 3,000 pounds of dog food are consumed, and this is the one that's incredible to me, the 20,000 pounds of litter. Cat litter that's used on an annual basis. And then I just went on, and we spent about $38,000 on average for veterinary care, medications, vaccines, things of that nature. So that's probably about a third of our budget right there. Mm-hmm. And then you've already mentioned the number of dogs and cats that were adopted this past year, 450. And I would like to mention, because sometimes we get people asking us, well, you know, let's do something for the humans rather than dogs and cats. And our response typically is, when you see folks come out and adopt a dog or a cat, you know, these are families, elderly people, singles, couples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we are doing something for human beings.
Yeah, yeah, you're providing companionship. You're providing another family member, basically.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of families will use the pet, you know, with their kids. You know, teaching them how to care for an animal, you know, do chores, feeding, walking, things of that nature.
Teaching them responsibility as well.
Yeah, sure,
and creating
sure.
that lifelong bond with animals.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you grow up with a pet, you remember that pet for the rest of your life. I mean, that pet is with you the rest of your life.
Isn't that so true?
Yeah. Sammy, talk about the volunteer hours. I just did a little quick math, and this is not my strong point, believe me. That's why I'm here in radio today. But at 7,500, and you say this number is low, that's 187 and a half weeks at 40 hours a week of volunteer time that you log every single year.
Right. And like I said, I haven't like figured it, but I'm guessing that's low because we have people who come in twice a day to do dog chores, and you're averaging, I mean, for each time it's a different average based on how many dogs we have, but it can be as low as like an hour up to maybe 2 hours that they're for dogs. Cats take a little bit longer. They're only done once a day, but because we have so many more, and just the cleaning, because we have each kennel that needs to be cleaned and everything that goes with it, you're averaging about 3 hours a day for cat chores, and there's usually three or four people that come in to do cat chores. And then you figure we have people that come in and clean the building, we have people that do the lawn maintenance, and then just any of the fundraising that we do throughout the year, which is a lot because we need to keep being able to, you know, cover the cost of everything. So, you know, you pull in volunteers for that, and yeah, we have a lot of volunteer hours. And I figured that we have probably about 80 to 90 volunteers that are active at the shelter right now between everything that we do.
You guys talked about the radius that people drive from to come to this facility and how unique it is for a town this size to have this. Maybe both of you can talk about your favorite stories about how far people come to adopt pets right here from the Animal Rescue of Carroll.
We do. We have people from... A lot of people come from the Des Moines area, from the Omaha area. We've Minnesota.
And they've got their own shelters in Omaha.
Exactly.
And Des Moines.
They do. They all do. If people, I guess what gets me the most is when people will drive. I love cats and dogs, but cats, there's so many more cats all over the place. I mean, you can find a cat anywhere, but we have people that, we had someone that drove from the other side of Illinois all the way to our shelter to adopt a cat because it was a cat that looked like a cat she had had in the past, and they had just recently lost, and so she drove all the way to get, she drove one way, and then she picked him up, and when they got there, it was really neat because she was there with her teenage son, and I mean, it was emotional because the cat did look exactly like the cat they had before. And so there were tears of grief, but also tears of joy because they were going to have it. And getting to, you know, hear back from them, you know, how it's going. And we do get a lot of like updates from adopters as well.
How about Dave? You know, you talked about a dog in Pennsylvania.
Right. Yeah.
Tell that story.
Our board member, Karen Scouten, tells the story, and I believe it was probably 10 years ago, where there was a couple from, I think it was Pittsburgh, but they saw a dog that they wanted and said, hey, put it on the plane in Des Moines and ship it to Pittsburgh, and we'll pick it up. We'll pay all the expenses and all of that. So, yeah, we go as far as Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When it comes to something that emotional, they're willing to go that extra mile to find exactly what they're looking for.
Absolutely. I think also, you know, as far as a radius question that you asked, John, I think we have a reputation of we're a relatively small shelter, and I think we have a reputation of, number one, caring for the animals and giving them some one-on-one time, too. Because I think some of your huge shelters are—I mean, they're just—you know—they're just big factories. And
I can see that they want a pet that they're going to adopt that has been cared for
right,
and cared for
right,
well.
Right. Yeah.
And is used to the human interaction that it
exactly.
gets.
Yeah, most of our pets go out and they've had plenty of contact with humans and they're socialized and ready to be adopted.
What do you hear from the people that adopt it? Do you hear back from them all the time?
We do. We hear back from them a lot of times. And one of the main comments that I hear is that they love that we're able to match the perfect animal with them because we're small and we have a great volunteer base, we do get to know our animals really well. We know personalities. And so when someone comes in, one of the first things I ask them if they don't have a specific animal in mind is, tell me what you're looking for. Tell me about your family. You know, what things are going on, and I want to know what you're looking for. Because we know, I mean, those of us that are there, we know those animals. And so it's like, okay, here I've got these animals that would be great fits. Let's go meet them and see what you guys feel like with them.
Yeah, and you only charge a very small fee for all of the vet work, especially that's done beforehand to send these animals home.
Right. Our dog adoption fee is typically $200, which, you know, covers spay, neuter, vaccinations, microchipping, heartworm testing, which if you were to add all of that up...
That's a bargain.
It is. Exactly. And our cat adoption fee is typically $75. And again, you can't get all of that vet work done for $75 either.
Because you're even microchipping the cats.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yep.
Talk about what you guys need going forward. You still need financial help every year, don't you? I mean, to keep everything going forward, or are you guys sustaining it with the adoptions?
We definitely still... No, adoption prices do not really, like...
They don't even begin to cover.
It doesn't. You know, I mean, they help, but yeah, we're still going to need to continue with the fundraising probably as long as we're in existence because...
And if anybody's got 20,000 spare pounds of kitty litter, they're
exactly. I want to donate them because that's a lot of litter.
That's a lot of money for something that gets thrown away.
Yeah. I just got that in the back of my truck, so I'll drop that off later today.
As soon as winter's over and you don't need it anymore. Yeah.
Right.
John, I hear you drive right by every morning. So,
yeah, I do.
I leave it by the front door.
Right.
Throw out a shovel full once in a while, will you?
You guys really do have a great location. I mean, you're only hard to find once, as they always say. Right. You know, once you know where you're at, it's pretty simple. If anybody wants to volunteer, if anybody wants to help out, donate, how do they do that? You guys have got a great website.
We do. Yep. Our website is animalrescueofcarroll.org, and we try to keep it as current as possible. We have another volunteer that does that for us. I just send the information to her. In order to volunteer, we have a new volunteer orientation session once a month on the fourth Thursday of the month at 6:30 at night at the shelter. It usually lasts typically 45 minutes to an hour, just kind of give an introduction to the shelter and what to expect. And then we set up training time for them to come in and train in mm-hmm. whichever area they're going to work in. Fundraising, we're always going to be doing that and need the funds. We get kittens in and they need to be fixed and then we can get them into their home. So, yeah, that's always going to be huge for us.
Better throw out some love to all those foster families out there, too, that take in, because you can't possibly store them all at your facility.
No. Right now we have an amazing foster base. I am looking to expand it because I know our numbers are going to increase this year again with kittens. But I have fosters. I have a solid group of fosters down in the Ankeny-Urbandale area that foster for us, and my main foster down there, she works at Urban Pet Hospital, and that's where we get most of our kittens fixed just because we can get them done a little bit earlier there and get them into homes. And so she heads up that foster base. A lot of kittens get adopted down that way as well. And then I have one foster in Sac City. I have fosters here in Carroll. So, yeah, it's just amazing the base that we have for fosters. But, again, I'm always looking for more.
and matching a pet is not as easy as someone walking in and saying, that's the one I want right there. Each dog. Each cat has a personality. Each person has a personality. They got to mesh if it's going to be a good match.
Exactly. That is so true.
All right. Well, guys, I tell you what, congratulations on the award. Well deserved. You guys have done phenomenal work. And that facility, the envy of a lot of towns. I know that.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Sammy Ellett, and once again, Dave Bruner joining us here this morning. The winners of the Public Service Award is Animal Rescue of Carroll.